Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know that we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know what's really going on in this crazy, crazy world? Well, sure we do. So stay tuned to the 521st edition of SDG, Solidea Gloria. And we're going to tie it all in, and we're going to tie it all together, folks. We're going to share the forbidden news with you that you'll never hear on the fake news. Then, later in this message, we're going to answer that question that I asked you all last week. And that was whether you're a critical thinker or a dutiful drone. In other words, do you have a mind or a mind conformed to the lies of this world? You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, for you to prove what is the good and well-pleasing and perfect will of God. So I hope you stay tuned as we continue to learn how we can eliminate all that fear-based thinking in this lost and fallen world. And it all originates in our thought lives. And then literally sharing the mind of Christ, which is the wisdom and power of God Almighty. So bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're God's people just passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And stay tuned to find out the latest news that the fake news will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper in America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, folks, it all started with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as always, folks, let's start with the review of a past episode. Now, last week, we looked at Dennis Cuddy's recent article titled An Unaware and Compliant Citizenry. And that was from News with Views. And I encourage you to go out there and look at the archive of all Dennis Cuddy's articles. This was published on April 26, 2021. And remember, he opened that article with this statement, and I'm going to reread it this week. In a previous article, I quoted from emails by Democratic strategist Bill Ivey to John Podesta. Remember, Podesta's emails were dumped in that WikiLeak. And then Podesta's subsequent strategy is Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign manager. So this Podesta guy, it's pretty clear he's linked with Pizzagate, which, again, we can't even talk about because it's all conspiracy theory, yet all the symbols on those pizza shops in Washington, D.C. It was just incredible, folks, isn't it? That all the symbols on those pizza shop signs matched the pedophile signs that the FBI put out in a bulletin warning that these are signals between pedophiles. And all that terminology for the munchies that Podesta and all the Clinton folks had for pizza and hot dogs and all that. You know, they eat so healthy. But all that was code word for their various perversions. But I get off track here. So Podesta, Clinton's chief of staff, and Ivy, this Democratic strategist, they were communicating regarding their conspiracy. And what was their conspiracy? Remember, it was to demean government, drop civics in general, and conspire to produce an unaware and compliant citizenry through education. And the bottom line, folks, is that they planned this coup for many years. This goes all the way back to the 70s, folks. And they were going to use education to accomplish their goal for this Fabian takeover of our culture. Now, there's two ways that revolution occurs, and we've talked about this time and time again. You got the radical revolution of the Bolsheviks when you had the white Russians and the red Russians back during the Bolshevik Revolution.
at the turn of the 20th century, you know, in the family, the Tsar family, the Romanov family, the last Tsar was taken from power. Folks, that's a very good series to watch on Netflix, and you can see how this happened. Well, that was the radical way, the sudden way, you know, through revolution, kinetics, gunfire. And then there's also the gradual progressive way of the Fabian Society, and that's what we see happening here. So Podesta conspired with Ivey and the Clinton administration to use education to do this. So where we left off last week, well, back in July 1993 at the NEA's National Education Association's National Convention, Bill Clinton addressed the delegates and thanked the NEA for the gift of our assistant secretary. Now, he was referring to the longtime NEA activist, Sharon Robinson. Now, what's important about Sharon? Well, Sharon became the U.S. Assistant Secretary of Education for the Office of Education Research and Improvement. And then Clinton went on to say that he believed his goals for America, remember what they were, we just mentioned them, closely matched those of the NEA. And then he further stated, and I believe that the president of this organization, and listen to this very clearly here, folks, because this is the key. This is the key right here. Now, I believe that the president of this organization would say, we have had the partnership I promised in the campaign in 1992. And what was that partnership? To demean government, drop civics, and in general conspire to produce an unaware and compliant citizenry. And we will continue. Listen to what he says. And we will continue to have it. You and I are joined in a common cause, and I believe we'll succeed.
What? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
Yeah, Paul. I'm serious. These are the people who said they planned to demean government, drop civics, and in general conspire to produce an unaware and compliant citizenry. How? Through our education system. Our government, I mean public schools. So they take your money and my money, and then they force a religion of atheism and scientism upon our students, our children. So we pay to brainwash our children. But it gets worse, folks. Then in December 15th, 1993, in that edition of Education Week, that journal reported that Deborah DeLee, the former director of governmental relations with the NEA, had joined the Democratic National Committee as their executive director. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. Now, back when I was in junior high school in the 70s, we had civics class, and we were taught about the founding documents, our Republican, not our Democratic form of government, and we were taught the distinction between a democracy and a republic. I don't know if you were, but I was. So in our civics classes back then in the 70s, pretty much informed about our form of government with the three branches and the balance of powers and all that. But then somewhere during the 1990s, civics was dropped. And that was during the Clinton administration, where they had planned to drop civics, demean government, and conspire in general to produce an unaware and compliant citizenry. And then they came out with this OBE, or outcome-based education, which emphasized a different form of education. And it was spearheaded by a man named William Spady, who wrote that OBE could take three forms. The traditional, not very different from the former educational practices. The transitional, where education would transition to the final goal of what's known as transformational education. And you may have heard some of these buzzwords if you followed anything going on in our public schools. And in this last and final form, the coup d'etat, so to speak, the transformational education emphasized changing children's values. You know, Stalin said, give me your children, and in one generation, I'll own your nation. Now, in this article from September 1987, titled Future Trends, Considerations in Developing Exit Outcomes, Spady wrote that, and I quote, despite the historical trend towards intellectual enlightenment and cultural pluralism, there has been a major rise in religious and political orthodoxy, intolerance, fundamentalism, and conservatism, with which young people will have, you know, the head of the NEA, forget the name, this was back in the same time frame, was quoted, and it was in an edition of Veritas, the newspaper published by William Cooper. This particular NEA director was addressing a class at Harvard and said that all children come to school mentally ill from the values concerning religion, nationalism, patriotism, and family values that are instilled in them by their parents. And it's our job to deprogram them. Now, the parents in this time frame of the 90s became more aware of what OBE was trying to do. So OBE faced opposition at school board meetings, and parents rose up and spoke out. So the planners of the New World Order had to come up with another strategy. And what was that? Well, back in 2008, the Hunt Institute, and this was named in honor of the former governor of North Carolina, Jim Hunt, and it was founded or set up at NC State University. They began to develop what would be known as Common Core. It didn't take long for the parents to realize that Common Core wasn't helping their children. It was actually causing them not to reach proficiency in the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. You know, based on the National Assessment of Educational Progress, those standardized tests that are given to students, I believe in eighth grade, maybe fifth, sixth, eighth, and then I think senior year. So the population was becoming increasingly dumbed down, as Charlotte Iserby referred to. Now, Charlotte was a former Reagan administration Department of Education staffer, and she was very pro-education, very pro-freedom. And Charlotte was warning everybody back then, and she wrote Dumbing Down America, you know, through education. So God bless Charlotte. I'm not sure she's even still alive, but if you want to learn more about how they're using education to affect this Marxist coup, read some of Charlotte's writing. Very good. Now, this resulted in this unaware citizenry, and it's become more and more manipulated and compliant over time, giving up more and more freedoms. Look at what's happened since the 9/11 attacks. 20 years that's been, folks, and I cannot believe how much we've given up concerning our freedoms, our unalienable freedoms, God-given freedoms, not given to us by government, but enumerated by government. Those are the civil rights, folks. Now, I want to go back to an old classic that was published in 1840, Democracy in America by Alex de Tocqueville. And he was describing despotism in that book. And I quote, the supreme power extends its arms over the whole community. It covers the surface of society with a network of small, complicated rules, minute and uniform. The will of man is not shattered, but softened, bent, and guided. Does it sound familiar, folks? Does it sound like what's happening right now? Well, it's sad, isn't it? Well, man isn't being shattered right now. It's just being softened, bent, and guided. And then Tocqueville continues, it does not tyrannize, but it compresses, enervates, extinguishes, and stupefies a people till each nation is reduced to nothing better than a flock of timid and industrious animals. Just look at what's going on down in Australia right now with these COVID camps. Have a dinner bell ring, and they line up when they hear the chuck wagon come along, so to speak. This is pathetic. And then de Tocqueville refers to the government as the shepherd. It is a vain to summon a people who have been rendered so dependent on the central power to choose from time to time the representatives of that power. So he's referring to voting. So if you've made your citizenry compliant and dumbed down, doesn't matter if they can vote, because this rare and brief exercise of their free choice will not prevent them from gradually losing the faculties of thinking, feeling, and acting for themselves, and thus gradually falling below the level of humanity. And that, folks, is an unaware and compliant citizenry. Those are the dutiful drones, the normies that I've been talking about for the last several weeks, the people that are incapable of critical thinking. Folks, from my many years as an intelligence officer for the Second Continental Army of the Republic, you know, this was through William Cooper's CAGI group, Citizens Agency of Joint Intelligence. And any of you that know my story, I was an early listener of the Hour of the Time back when it first came on the air on WWCR, the shortwave station, back in the early 90s. I helped William Cooper with his Mystery Babylon series. I did the index for it. I didn't actually help him produce the series, but I helped him compile the information, and then we sent this index out with each edition of that Mystery Babylon series that people purchased. So I was involved with Cooper as a researcher, and my station chief was Michelle Moore, the author of Oklahoma City Day One, and we compiled research, and this research went into William Cooper's Hour of the Time broadcast, many of his publications, the books that him and Michelle wrote. And then we also published Veritas, a national newspaper that went to each and every member of Congress, the Supreme Court, and the President, Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton actually named William Cooper one of the most dangerous men in America. Now, why? Because William Cooper was wielding the sword of truth. Now, over the many years that I did this research through CAGI, I collected so many files on diverse topics ranging from the New World Order to Agenda 21. We even had information about foreign soldiers, Russian soldiers on U.S. soil. And, you know, the Hour of the Time and the Veritas newspaper, we used all of that to try to spread the alarm about the march of the New World Order. But you know what I noticed? It fell upon the ears of an unaware and compliant citizenry. I had a commercial copier here that I purchased from a law firm when they retired it. And I literally photocopied tens of thousands of documents and I passed them out wherever I could. But no one seemed to care. You know, another word for a despot is a dictator, folks. And remember, before President Joe Biden signed those 30 executive orders in the first 3 days of his presidency, he told ABC News' George Stephanopoulos back on October 15, 2020, some of my Republican friends and some of my Democratic friends even occasionally say, and I quote, well, if you can't get the votes by executive order unless you're doing something, things can't be done by executive order unless you're a dictator. So in other words, he's saying, if I can't get the consensus of Congress, I'm just going to write executive orders. But enough said on that, okay? I want to keep moving. Now, last week, we did a segment on Stephen Jacobson, and I talked about one of his best works, and I believe it was Wake Up America, and we played an intro to it. And this week, what I'd like to do is pick up on that and play about a five-minute segment out of Wake Up America where he describes what money is. And it's really important for the next piece I'm going to cover. But just listen to Stephen Jacobson, what a dollar is and what a dollar isn't.
The manipulation of words and their meaning is the key to controlling what people think. Orwell called the redefining of words newspeak, where traditional definitions are eliminated while new meanings are repeated over and over again until accepted. The definition of the word dollar has undergone such a transformation to hide the fact that it is not money, but a unit of measurement for gold and silver coin. Title 12, United States Code, Section 152 states,
the terms lawful money or lawful money of the United States shall be construed to mean gold or silver coin of the United States.
Title 31, United States Code, Section 371 says,
the money of account of the United States shall be expressed in dollars.
A dollar is not money. It is the expression of money. The money of account of the United States is gold and silver coin. A dollar is a unit of measurement, like an inch or a quart or a mile. Congress, in the Coinage Act of 1792, fixed the dollar as a specific weight of silver in the form of a coin and fixed the value of a gold coin in relation to the dollar unit of silver. If there are no gold and silver coins, there are no dollars of anything. Dollars cannot be money any more than quarts can be milk. A unit of measurement cannot replace or become the thing for which it is the measure. However, in the mind of the public, this is exactly what has happened. people have been led to believe that a dollar is both money and a measure of it. This is what George Orwell called doublethink, where the mind is infiltrated with conflicting concepts, unawares. Centuries ago, it became common practice for people to store their gold in the vault of the local goldsmith for a fee. The goldsmith would give the depositor a receipt for the amount of gold stored for safekeeping. The receipt was not money, but a money substitute. It also became common practice for people to exchange these warehouse receipts with one another for goods and services as if they were money, since the receipts could be redeemed for the gold held in storage. The goldsmith soon discovered that only a small percentage of the gold stored in his vault was ever reclaimed. He began issuing receipts for more gold than he had, using some of them himself to buy things, and loaning the rest at interest while taking title to real property as collateral. In either case, there was no gold in the vault for these extra receipts. By increasing the quantity of the money substitute, the goldsmith had stolen from the holders of legitimate receipts, the value of which was reduced by the number of fraudulent receipts issued. Paper currency, a money substitute, is honest only when the real money for which it is a substitute equals the number of receipts in circulation. By manipulating the number of receipts in circulation, the goldsmith quietly confiscated the wealth of the community without anyone being aware of what was happening. By reducing the number of receipts, he could make money scarce, causing a depression where he could foreclose on property and increase his wealth. He could then stimulate economic activity and bring prosperity by increasing the number of receipts until the next cycle of plunder. All of America's economic problems originate with the practice of issuing fraudulent receipts for gold that does not exist. This practice became standard operating procedure for the banking establishment.
So there you have it, folks. What they're doing through the dumbing down of our culture is they're using newspeak, and they're redefining what a dollar is. Remember, a dollar is a unit of measure. It's defined in our Constitution as such. A dollar is not money, but the expression of a unit of money, which is either gold or silver. So what is money? Well, it can't be both a unit of measurement and what it measures, like Stephen said. That's true. That's doublethink. Did you ever hear the term script? You know, I grew up in a coal mining family, and that was Terry's family's business too, so to speak. Everybody in this area had somebody in their family who worked for the coal mines. This was Western Pennsylvania, folks. And when these immigrants came over from Europe, and my family came from Eastern Europe, and we did it correctly, folks. Actually, my mother's side, my dad's side was here since before the Revolutionary War. But I don't want to get off on that. All I want to do is tell you that my grandparents came through Ellis Island. They had to follow all the guidelines of immigration. They became U.S. citizens, and they did it legally. And that's how it needs to be done today, but I digress. My point is that when they got here, most people were housed in what's called the company housing, and you had to pay a portion of your wages to live in that housing. And then when you did get paid, you didn't get paid in dollars. You got paid in company script, which was only redeemable at the company store. Do you see what's happening today, folks? So anyways, last week I'm researching information for this show, And I stumble on this article from Russian Business News, Russian Times Business News. And by the way, folks, I get my information everywhere. I even read Al Jazeera, BBC, Russian Times. And it's amazing how all these stories have a little bit of a different spin depending on the perspective of the news agency. But anyways, listen to the title of this one. Bitcoin is a poor store of value. Collapse drastically. This is a warning from the central bankers. And listen to some of these bullet points from the article. The governor of Sweden's central bank, this man named Stefan Ingves, said that during a recent banking conference in Stockholm, the Bitcoin's value could drastically collapse. And he compared digital currency, which is a little different than Bitcoin, which is based on a very protected software known as blockchain. He says that digital currency is like stamp collecting, and he cast doubt on the validity and long-term feasibility. Well, what are they doing? They're just using paper money, you know, funny money. And here's a quote. Private money usually collapses sooner or later. And you can get rich by trading in Bitcoin, but it's comparable to trading in stamps. Folks, gold and silver are private money. Scraps of paper with pictures of dead presidents on them, that's known as public money, better called fiat or funny money. And then this Ingraves, he goes on and says that regulatory scrutiny of cryptocurrencies would likely increase with the popularity of digital assets. Now, meanwhile, the Bank of Mexico's governor, Alejandro Diaz de León, said in a Thursday interview that from his view, Bitcoin is a tool for barter rather than a viable legal tender. Boy, you know what we have going on here, doublespeak and newspeak. They're twisting the meaning of words. Everything that you trade a true money, like gold or silver, for something else, either labor or another substance, that's barter. That's what it is. Folks, that's what paper money originally came along to facilitate, you know, or simplify. The purpose of paper money was so people didn't have to lug around these heavy quantities of gold and silver to barter. But the paper had to represent something, or at least that's how it was originally sold to the, you know, when FDR came out and made it illegal to own gold. He said, but you can redeem it any time. That's what the silver certificates and the gold certificates were all about until Richard Nixon ended all that in 1971. Then this banker from Mexico went on to describe these digital currencies and these blockchain technologies as a poor store of value, citing their wild price swings. Well, why do they have wild price swings? Because it's manipulated, just like the stock market. And the commodities index for gold, silver, platinum, rhodium, and all the precious metals. And then I want to quote him one more time here. Whoever receives Bitcoin in exchange for a good or service, we believe that is more akin to bartering because that person is exchanging a good for a good, but not really money for a good. This is insane, folks. This is what normies eat up like you gave them the gourmet meal of the year when it's really a hot bowl of porridge sitting before them. This is doublespeak, and it's classic, folks. Then did you hear this one? Did you even hear this on the fake news? The Atlanta Fed this week reported that the GDP forecast cuts U.S. growth by 41%. You know, in normal times, this news would be earth-shattering, yet it didn't even get time on the media network-controlled news. It was hardly a blip in the news cycle. You know, most people are too preoccupied with Biden's vax mandates and the 9/11 lie. They didn't even hear this. But the U.S. economy for this current quarter is projected by the Atlanta Fed to see a 41% drop. This is problematic, folks. This is serious. I'm seeing supply chain disruptions that are unheard of. We're seeing over a 20-fold increase in the shipping costs from Asia, and a lot of our raw materials come from Asia, folks. That's just the state of the current economy. We can't get materials. You know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Folks, I encourage you to listen to the entire Stephen Jacobson Wake Up America clip and use DuckDuckGo or some other search engine, because you won't find it when you use Google. They're suppressing it. But just type in Stephen Jacobson Wake Up America, look for the videos, they're out there, and listen to it. And then you'll be prepared for next week's show, where we focus on the root of this current crisis, which is literally the love of money. But now, folks, as always, it's time for Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as always, we start out with the coronavirus heist. Yeah, that's all we need to do, folks. All we need to do is say no. Question is, are we going to be able to get enough people out of 333 million people in this country to stand up, look these corrupt people in the faces at school board meetings, up to Congress, and everywhere in between, and say more? Are you ready to do it, people? Unless we do, this will never stop. Now, there are people on both sides of the political spectrum, key theater at its best, folks, but there are people on both sides, Democrat and Republican alike, who are waking up to this. I told you about Catherine Austin Fitz, and we've played some of her interview from the High Wire. She's a conservative person who was in the Bush administration, and she's a powerhouse when it comes to economics. She sees. And then on the left side, we have Dr. Naomi Wolf, a former Clinton administration staffer, who's also warning. And recently, she was on a conservative network warning about this bio-fascist coup. And I'd like to hear you to hear what she had to say. It's about 7 minutes long. I'm not sure if we're going to play the whole thing, but let's just get started here.
Bring in Dr. Naomi Wolf. You kind of warned people that this day was coming back, I think, in February. So what's your assessment having sat there? And by the way, for your many fans in the war room, I think a few heads blew up the other day when he actually said you voted for Biden. So we might have time for confession there. But as you sat there today, what are your first thoughts when you see that Joe Biden, what you've been warned about? And by the way, this is far worse than vaccine passports. This goes beyond vaccine passports. Dr. Naomi Wolf.
I mean, that this day would be here. I'm struggling for language, because for 12 years I've been watching democracy slowly and sometimes quickly erode, and the day is here. This is a declaration of war. It's a coup. It's a biofascist coup. I mean, I've used that phrase before as this administration or this regime has been gearing up toward coercing the people, stripping them of their rights, stripping them of their constitutionally bestowed liberties. But this is a declaration of war against the American people. It's overt, it's violent, and we have to recognize what just happened. And I just sincerely want to say I apologize. I can't believe that it's my team that was the team to usher in full-on tyranny. But, you know, just some of the highlights of that speech, if that's what you want to call it, it really is a day of living infamy. It's a declaration against the people. He basically said, I'm going to use the Defense Department to coerce the American people. Federal workers and contractors will have 75 days to get fully vaccinated, and if they don't, they'll be referred to their human resources departments for counseling and discipline to include potential termination. He's forcing people who work with children to be vaccinated and implying that it's not safe to have an unvaccinated person around your child, which is just a lie. And he's blaming, scapegoating in a way that's right out of Hitler's playbook. And I say this as a granddaughter of survivors of the Holocaust. He's scapegoating unvaccinated people as the reason for the pandemic. And it's a huge evil distraction, because what happened the day before yesterday, The Intercept confirmed that Dr. Fauci funded the gain-of-function research that probably led to this whole devastating, deadly debacle of a global pandemic, and they're trying to distract us from processing that truly shocking confirmation.
I want to go back, because you used some pretty hot terms there. A biofascist coup. Walk us through what you mean by that.
I mean, there's so much. So a coup in the United States is, first of all, it's illegal, according to our system, to have the military deployed against the people of the United States of America. And he's not exactly saying that, right? He's too clever for that, or his speechwriters are too clever for that. But he's engaging the Defense Department. He's engaging the military to make this coercive mass vaccination happen. And when you do that, you're, first of all, you're bypassing governors, who are duly elected by the people. You're bypassing the National Guard.
Hang on one second. I just want to make sure, because one thing I was able to pull out of here on the fly, he said that governors, and our system is a federal system, he said governors that don't comply, we will get them out of the way. What does
it's
that mean? Have you ever heard talk like that from any participant from Richard Nixon to Lyndon Johnson to Jack Kennedy, Ronald Reagan, have you ever heard language like that from any president or anybody sitting in the Oval Office? I guess you should say, president, but anybody, it's commander in chief, to sit there and say, if a governor doesn't comply, quote, we're going to get them out of the way.
Thank you for noticing the extraordinary tone of this speech. I've never heard anything like it in my life. And I was married to a White House speechwriter, and I had a hand, in watching the messaging process at other times. Never in my life has an American president threatened, unknown repercussions against governors who don't go along with this massive, coercive stripping of people's bodily autonomy, injections by force with a product that is still experimental. It's a personal choice, but no, it's no longer a personal choice, right? Because Joe Biden has decided what's going to happen to your body, no matter what your special issues are, no matter what your medical concerns are, no matter what your history is. He will decide what happens to your body if you're unfortunate enough to be a federal employee or an employee of the State Department or a teacher at a Head Start program or any number of other entities that he said, I have the power, effectively. And no, I've never heard threats of that kind. I've never heard bullying. I've never heard an American president say something like, I have the right to do this. I have the power to do this. This will happen no matter what. And, scary as you can be when you're that frail, right? If you don't wear a mask on federal transportation, you're going to pay a $14,000 fine, I believe I heard. And if you don't, like, watch out, right? I mean, it's this kind of tone of you be afraid, be very afraid. And that is not America. And, it's one thing to have saber-rattling rhetoric coming out of the speechwriters in the White House, but to back that up with a deployment, well, I don't want to say deployment because I don't want to unnecessarily alarm people, but an engagement of military, an engagement of the Department of Defense, this is a catastrophic crisis. And, I am not Cassandra. I am not Chicken Little, right? I try to be very measured. But literally everything I've been worrying about has come true, and it's come true for 12 years, and here we are. And what I want to tell people is, historically, this is the shock that happens when a democracy closes very abruptly, right? Democracies don't die like this. They die in stepwise fashion, right? And there are these sudden shifts. And then it's like very disorienting. What did the president just say? How did he talk to us? But by the time people are processing that, the boots are at your door.
Dr. Wolf, hang on. We're going to take a short commercial break. We'll be back with
today is the first full day of the New World Order.
New World Order.
Outdoor gatherings are limited to 2 people. Exercise is allowed, but no further than a 10-kilometer radius from your home. Browsing in shops is not permitted. Only 1 person per household may leave to do essential shopping. And from tomorrow, funerals are limited to 10 people.
Folks, wake up. This COVID false narrative, scandemic in general, is the rape of the mind, as we learned from Dr. Mirlo. It's meant to side on a global scale, folks. It's a form of fear-based mind control, a communist attempt at forcing a cultural revolution. It's the same cultural genocide that the Chinese Communist Party perpetrated in Tibet. You know, they're saying no concerts, no sporting events like hockey or baseball. Folks, didn't they delay the Olympics for an entire year? We weren't supposed to have Thanksgiving, no Christmas, no exchange of gifts, no birthdays, no religion, no social gatherings, no dating, no weddings, no trust. You look at your neighbor with suspicion when they sneeze or cough. No talking to strangers. Remember that one? I'm telling you, this is all based on the classic mind control methodologies used everybody on the far left to the far right, Nazi and communist included. It's a trauma-based mind control that results in the brainwashing of both the individual, but more importantly, the group. And this is how cultural revolution is achieved in entire communities without a shot being fired. It's Fabianism, folks. And I've talked about that on the show. Brainwashing is a scientific fact. But hold on, there's even more. You know, there's something beyond brainwashing. There's brain changing. And this is a very, very highly developed technology that is being used by the communists. Now, what is brain changing? Well, next week, we're going to get into more detail on this. But it's a terrifying new communist strategy to conquer the free world. How? By menticide, or the destruction of the mind. So brainwashing through Red China has been perfected into brain changing, a calculated destruction of the people's minds. In fact, that was the title of a book that we're going to get into more so next week. So look it up, Brainwashing in Red China, the Calculated Destruction of People's Minds. So listen to the rest of Jacobson's Wake Up America. Get this book, Brainwashing in Red China, the Calculated Destruction of People's Minds. And yes, folks, I'm starting to give homework on this show because we need to be reeducated. This has never been about health. It's always been about control. And it appears that this face mask psyop is back in the news now. Did you hear about that? People are masking up again. Now, I want to share some information, and this is all coming with the permission of the listener. This is a friend that I've never met face-to-face, but he's been a listener back to the days at Tribulation Now. His name is Alex, and he's from Iowa. Shout out to Alex there, folks. Alex, if you're listening, God bless you. Stay the course. But Alex was sharing with me what was happening with him out now. And I'm just going to read the opening of this first email I got earlier in the week. Hey, Kenneth, so here in Iowa, our governor signed a law last year in the spring that the Des Moines Public Schools has challenged in the courts, and that's who he works for as a welding instructor in the VOTEC. And the law that was signed into effect could not force masks upon students or teachers. Then this week, a judgment came down from the courts in favor of the Department of Des Moines Public Schools because they're suing the state. So the mandate kicked back in on Tuesday, I believe it was. And his principal sent him a text to make sure he knew it, and he read about it. And it was very clear that everyone would have to wear a mask and force students and teachers alike to mask up. And discipline would be handed out to anyone who didn't comply. The only exception was for virtual learning, but he couldn't teach welding, you know, virtually. He had to be there on site. So here's a man who's a skilled welder and wanted to share trade. So he took a pay cut and he went into the schools to teach his craft, his profession to the next generation, and he has to mask up. Can you imagine wearing a mask while you're welding? Could you imagine that, folks? So Alex and I, we exchanged some emails, and I sent him some information. I sent him an article that he could give his teacher. It was titled, "No Scientific Evidence That Masks Do Anything, Sweden Banning Masks." This was from Strong Economics. And you can look at the epidemiology studies from Sweden, where they had basically an open society through all this. They're not forcing vaccinations. And then compare them to Israel, which was the case study for masking up and vaccinations. What are they on, their fourth vaccine now? And the incident rates of COVID are off the charts in Israel, yet there's hardly anything happening in Sweden. So I sent him that article. And then I also sent him a very detailed one from AIER.org titled "The CDC's Mask Mandate Study Debunked." And in this one, there were article after article, peer-reviewed articles cited, which prove that face masks are not only ineffective at preventing the spread of this invisible enemy, but they also, in some cases, can be dangerous if you don't manage them properly or if you wear them too much. You know, dentists are reporting all sorts of tooth decay problems right now. How about that group of parents in Florida who sent their children's face masks off to the lab to be studied, and they found every kind of pathogen and disease-bearing organism in the fibers of those masks after one day of wearing. This isn't good, folks. It isn't healthy. So Alec and I exchanged emails back and forth this week, praying for him. He even consulted his pastor, Terry Ammon, and they both concluded that even if he gave good evidence, nothing would change. Alex was, and I advised him to be the model employee, and that's what you all have to be when you're out there fighting this or the vax mandates. You need to be the model employee. You need to show up at work on time. You need to be the best worker, proactive with your management, because what you're doing is you're preparing evidence for a lawsuit, and you want to remain eligible for unemployment. So they must terminate you without cause. And this can't be with cause because it's not a law. So you need to be the model employee, regardless of where you work. Now, I told him I agreed with him, and this is probably the best line out of the email before I get into how I agreed with him and Pastor Amon. And he said, and he concluded, "But I have joy today. The King of Heaven won't let me fall and not get back up." Praise the Lord, folks. We have to remember who we serve and where we're fighting from. We're not fighting for a victory. We're fighting from a position of victory. Jesus won it all back for us when he rose from the grave, folks. He beat him. And we are just a mop-up crew here. So anyways, I said Pastor Ammon's correct. And the reason is that the subversion of America is nearly complete. Soviet defector Yuri Bezmenov, and we've talked about him on here, I've played clips. He said that after a culture has been demoralized, it takes about 15 to 20 years to get to the point where people no longer care or respond to the truth. And that's what we see happening right now. Now, if you'd like to learn more about this, just go out to bezmenov.net/lecture. And you want to look at the lecture on subversion and demoralization. If you can't find that out there, email me. adyear1961@gmail.com, and I'll get that for you. Now, one bit of advice, and it's applicable to all you going through this, okay? And I'm going to stress this one more time. Mind your P's and Q's. Be the model employee. You have to be, folks. You cannot give them a reason to terminate you with cause. There are attorneys out there across the country who are working with people like you right now, and you need to prepare your case and then get in touch with one of these attorneys. So if you get sick, make sure you contact a frontline doctor. If you get threatened at your workplace, make sure you contact one of these attorneys. And if you need information on how to find either these frontline doctors or these frontline attorneys who are fighting a good fight, contact me and I'll get you in touch with some of them. So Alex responded, I went to work today. Again on time, day two of the new mask mandate, texted the principal and told her I'm here reporting to work, so Oh, and by the way, they had suspension because he refused to wear the mask. Okay, so he called her in. They had a good talk, and she was trying to get a hold of the HR department, human resource. And isn't that what Naomi Wolf said they were going to use through the Biden administration to force clients? The human resource department? And then they tried to get a hold of Superintendent Thomas Ahart to find a solution. Now, he thought she understood this, and he felt like she was really trying to make this work. But a lot of time, that's the good cop, bad cop routine. You know that, folks? Now, he knew this was going to be an extremely hard position for them to fill, but what they ended up doing was bringing back the old welding instructor. And I guess they're going to use him in the meantime. But to get to the chase here, I implored Alex, which he did, to stay the course. And I told him that if we the people allow the government that we consent to be governed by to break the law for, quote, emergencies, they will break the law. Now, the inconvenient truth here is that they know all too well that there are 333 million of us out there. We're 333 million strong, but we need to stand up and say no. We need to stand together, left and right, black and white, straight and gay, religious and non-religious, Christian, atheist. We all need to stand up, folks. We all love that one thing called freedom. And you have to remember that the enemy isn't your neighbor. The enemy isn't your boss at work. The enemy isn't that doctor trying to force you to get vaxxed. No. St. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, folks, I implore you to stay the course. More on this later in the show. Now, I have a friend who operates two fiberglass plants, one in Kentucky with over 100 employees, and there's only one person there vaxxed. And this week in an employee meeting, that workforce in mass told him that if he enforces the vax mandates, they will walk off, and that'll force him to shut the plant down. And that's great news, folks. It's happening all over the country, and we need to stand up. We, the people, have the true power if we stick together. We do, folks. So I got an update from Alex. He lost his job, but praise the Lord, he starts his commercial welding job on Monday at a much higher pay rate. And by the way, the carpenter Votech teacher, and I may have this confused, but I think the carpenter resigned and the plumber out of fear submitted. And that's what they're doing, folks. So why this issue of face masks? Well, bottom line, they don't work. In fact, they're dangerous to your health, but they're a powerful way to control and to divide and to see who is compliant and who's a critical thinker. And they need to isolate the critical thinkers from the herd. They need to cut us off. So time is limited here. We have a brief window where we can wake people up. I mean, if you don't believe me, just listen to this montage of Fauci clips on the face mask flip-flop, as I call it. It's a 2-minute and 47-second clip.
People should not be walking around with masks. Let me just state for the record that masks are not theater. Wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better. And
masks are protective. And
but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
There has not been any indication that putting a mask on and wearing a mask for a considerable period of time has any deleterious effects.
There are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course.
You do not need to wear a mask indoors if, in fact, you've been vaccinated. Good that you're vaccinated, but in a situation where you have people indoors, particularly crowded, you should wear a mask.
So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask.
That if, in fact, you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you are protected, and you do not need to wear a mask outdoors or indoors.
When the children go out into the community, you want them to continue to wear masks.
You know, if you look at children outside, particularly when they're with the family, walking down the street, playing a game or what have you, don't have to wear a mask.
The Academy of Pediatric actually makes that recommendation that children should be wearing masks
from 2 years old onward.
And you're asking now, if your child is a member of your household, can you walk outdoors with your child without a mask? According to that chart, the answer is yes.
But the child can't, not to beat it to death. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Because now the CDC says, I mean, I think I've got this right. One mask is better than zero masks. Two masks is better than one mask. But you don't have to have double masks. Is that right? I mean,
you know, it became clear that cloth coverings that you didn't have to buy in a store, that you could make yourself, were adequate. And then you want it to fit better. So one of the ways you could do it, if you would like to, is put a cloth mask over, which actually here and here and here, where you could get leakage in, is much better contained.
Are you a double masker, Dr. Fauci?
Put this right, like as he did, right underneath and try and keep it. That feels pretty tight right there, right? Okay, so you can, you know, just breathe naturally. Let's just see what happens. Okay. All right, so we're at 1,367. We've already just passed two. So now we're in the place where he can be having headaches. He can be, oh, we're at 3,786. Look at this. We've just passed 5,000. Now we're in the toxic level. Right now we can be doing this 7,000 inside this mask, the CO2, 8,000 parts per million. And now this thing's gone off the Richter scale, folks. It can't even register how high the CO2 levels are inside. And look how many seconds that was.
What?
That's right. This is pure kabuki theater. That clip at the end was Del Bigtree with a technician placing a CO2 detector under the face mask and monitoring the rise in the CO2 level. Now, you know, folks, you need to get the CO2 out and the oxygen in, but the reverse is happening. You're keeping the oxygen out and holding the CO2 in. You know, my good friend Seth from here in Western PA has been going to school board meetings. Some of his clients, while he's tattooing them, have been asking him if he could come. They're fighting this face mask mandate, school board meetings, and he's been receiving standing ovations from the parents as the school board members sit there, don't even look at the information he's given them. So he's prepared these packets for the school board members, many of whom, just like I said, refuse to even look at the files. Yet the parents are saying, give them my time, give them my time. Remember what I told Alex, folks? The Soviet defector, Yuri Bezmenov, said that after a culture has been demoralized, it takes about 15 to 20 years until people no longer care about truth. And that's what we see happen. But we have to keep moving. It's time for Kabuki Theater.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police report, the 2020 elections. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. In Japanese, ka means salt, boo means dance. Ki means skill from the verb. Kabu means to slant or display. Folks, it's all a lie. It's just flattening the curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Portal hyperinflation before we're done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for agenda 2030 and the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
So we've all heard about the Cold War with China, right? Oh, no, that's right. It was with the Soviet Union, wasn't it? And it was over when the Berlin Wall fell, right? No, we're always at war with the Soviet Union, right? No, we're always at war with China. This sounds like the script out of 1984. So who is it that we're at war with? It was the Soviet Union. Cold War, but a war nonetheless. No, it's China now. This from the AmericanMilitaryNews.com. Chinese state media vows military will, quote, show up at the U.S. doorstep soon, and, quote, China will win. So this op-ed came out in response to the U.S. Navy guided missile destroyer, the USS Benfold. It conducted what they referred to as a freedom of navigation operation near what they're referring to as Mischief Island or Mischief Reef in the Spratly Islands off the South China Sea, and this happened last Wednesday. Now, this followed the Chinese recent abrupt change in protocol, according to which on September 1st, they required all foreign vessels, including U.S. warships, to report their information when passing through what China views as territorial waters. Now, you know, territorial waters extend to 12 miles off the sovereign coast of a nation. Yet what China's doing now is they're saying that the entire South China Sea, which is a crucial navigation route for all of these industrial countries in Asia to get their goods and services out to the West, is now Chinese territorial waters. And I quote China said through the Global Times op-ed piece, what the U.S. has done is a naked provocation, and this is obvious to all. And they claim that this U.S. warship going through these open sea waters posed a threat to many Chinese people and facilities on that island. And then that op-ed further stated that China will take action. And I quote, only by making the U.S. have a taste of its own medicine can we touch the nerves of the U.S. and its allies and reshape the Western world's understanding of the U.S. bullying in the South China Sea. Now, in response, the U.S. 7th Fleet said that the U.S. warship sailed in accordance with international law. And that's true. They were outside the 12-mile range of Mischief Reef. But, you know, this is just all heightening and extending and becoming more and more hot. And that's what they want to do, folks. You know, there have been these flyovers by China over Alaska. The Union's doing that. There's all kinds of heightened tensions in Taiwan right now. And I think there's a reason for it all, folks. And you know what that is?
Today is the first full day of the New World Order.
New World Order.
That's what it is, folks. Welcome to the New World Order. But right now, folks, I'm looking for her and I don't see her. Where are you, Henrietta? Henrietta, where are you? There she is. Ah, what'd you get into there? Okay, Henrietta, just sit tight. Today, folks, what I'd like to share with you is what Terry and I have been doing with vitamin D3. And it's all based on a book titled The Miraculous Cure for and Prevention of All Diseases, What Doctors Never Learned. And it was written by this man whose family is in the medical profession. He was in medical school, and he chose to withdraw, kind of like me. And I'm looking for his name on the book. Oh, Jeff Boards or something like that. But if you're interested in the book, let me know. But what I'd like to focus on is cancer, D3, sunlight, and sunscreen. Now, what he did is he researched some information here, and he looked at the prevalence of cancers in relation to the amount of sunlight the various populations got. And so he looked at it with regard to latitude. And he also looked at other diseases. But what you'll find is as you get away from the sunniest part near the equator, and you get up near the north or south pole, based on the global model of the Earth, you see increases in multiple sclerosis. You see increases in breast cancer. You see increases in colon cancer. All these things somehow relate to the amount of sunlight. And then what's the narrative we see in the news? Oh, avoid sunlight, it causes cancer. Really? Maybe it's just the opposite. You know, most Americans get very little sunlight today, and most Americans are vitamin D3 deficient because you can't get vitamin D3 through any source of food. Your body produces it by sunlight, but if you don't get much sunlight or if you put sunscreen on, you're not going to get the sunlight, and then all of these diseases increase. This book has a lot of information. It's not written real well in the sense that it was edited. It's more like a draft that needs to be edited, but he wanted to get information out. It's self-published, and I encourage you to read it. So what I'd like to mention is that there is also a very strong correlation to the use of sunscreen and the increase in skin cancer. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. But these sunscreen cancer correlations are very strong. And is also associated with early death. So the more sun you get, the longer you live. The more sun you get, the healthier you are. Now, if you can't get that sunlight, the way to do it is through D3 supplementation, but they tell you not to exceed 5,000 international units. Well, Terry and I both take 50,000 units. Now, we started at 35,000 in our spring test. Our D3 level was at 80. And they recommend you're somewhere between 30 and 100. So since we were both around 80, what we did is we bumped it up from 35,000 international units, and we took it up to 50,000. And I know everybody's out there saying, oh, you're going to get poisoned. Oh, no, no, no. Jeff covers some information on how that myth got started back in the 30s. There was some tainted extract, and this is D3 is actually a steroid, and there was some tainted material out there that was getting people sick. But so think about this logically, folks. If Carrie and I are both taking 30,000 international units a day and our blood level on D3 is only 80 and we bumped it up to 50, now you have to do some other things when you do that. You need to make sure you take magnesium, K2, and you should also be supplementing with some zinc citrate. So it's very important. And I'm not giving medical advice here, folks. I'm just telling you what Terry and I do. But this is a very good book. If you can't find it, email me and I'll get you information. Folks, we have to keep moving. And now it's time for our Hopium Report. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepared to get high on Hopium. So this next story, I put the story in the clip under the Hopium Report, and it's a bit of a personal Hopium here, okay? And I'm going to be sharing my own version of Hopium. It doesn't involve election 2020. And if you haven't heard this story about Nicki Minaj, you've probably been living under a rock for the past week, but rapper Nicki Minaj exposes the fake news and slams Joy Reid and calls her Uncle Tomania, okay? Now, what happened here is Nicki Minaj had tweeted, I guess it was late last week or early this week, that she would not be attending that big gala at the Met in New York because they had a vax mandate. And she wasn't vaccinated yet, although she was searched after she would be, but after she did some more research. Now, the mainstream media picked up on this and called her an anti-vaxxer. And then Joy Reid came out and started to bash her because she has 20 million plus followers on Twitter and then 120 on Instagram. And then even Stephen Colbert from the late night show, he gets in on it. Okay. And what he does with all of his millions of dollars of staffing is he puts this little Nicki Minaj late night spoof together. You know, she was talking about her cousin's husband from Trinidad who had enlarged testicles after he received a shot. But just listen to how they've cut her off from the herd now, and they're trying to besmirch the way. Before I go on any further, I want to make this statement. I do not in any way support Nicki or her positions on many things, but I do support Nicki and her right to express herself, not only through her music, but also on the matter of her choice concerning gene technology, which they're calling the COVID vaccine. And she asked her followers to just pray about it before they take it. But listen to how they've besmirched her now on the late night show.
Rapper Nicki Minaj says that her cousin's friend, and she put this on social media, she has 22 million followers, she said he has swollen testicles after taking the vaccine. She cited that actually as one of the reasons that she has yet to be vaccinated.
And she goes on to say his friend was weeks away from getting married. Now the girl calls off the wedding.
This one's for the boys with the swollen testes.
It's a tale that was told by my cousin's bestie.
No need to fact check him or debunk him.
So the best for the sex with two massive pumpkins.
And it's sad, too bad, he's fried god mad. How could she love a man with some beach ball nets? Distraught, she thought she loved him alive. But now it's a stricken lizard from Epcot. Didn't make a sing long, still a normal ring dong. But it made it ping pong, look if it were King Kong. That side effect can be so bizarre. Now he's got two moons like the planet Mars. Excuse me, the plight of this man should be told to my 20 plus million fans. I mean, think of just how large my reach is to share about James and his giant peaches. Oh, yes I did get a reply from Flat Earther Kid. He wrote, thank you for this anecdote. Don't tread on my scrotes.
The mask from the CDC, I'm only gonna make your fiancé see. When you blow those boing, 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 bo
Folks, have you noticed how mean-spirited even out there in the comedy everything's become? Even our comedy and humor is mean-spirited now. It's always tearing down somebody. It's always attacking somebody. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 24, verse 12, because lawlessness is to be multiplied, the love of many will grow cold. And speaking of lawlessness, did you hear this one from the Zero Hedge? It was a mistake. The Pentagon finally admits Biden killed up to 10 innocent civilians in the Kabul drone strike. So less than a week after the New York Times broke this article, presenting comprehensive evidence that the Biden administration murdered an entire family of civilians on August 29th in that airstrike, Kabul, by the drone, the Pentagon is apologizing. Folks, America's national civil military command structure is completely, and I mean completely, corrupt. What about what General Milley did under the Trump administration? Folks, he committed treason, and nothing's being done. So the structure is completely corrupt and incompetent because everything in Washington, D.C. right now is corrupt and incompetent. So it's not rational to expect anything from the federal government except corruption, incompetence, and treason. I'm telling you, folks, Washington, D.C. is a malignant cancer upon America today. It's a den of corruption, criminality, and treason from the root of it all, which is the corrupt money system, to all of these bogus mandates and everything else. This isn't a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. This is a dictatorship. And we, the people, 333 million strong, need to stand up. Our federal government has chosen to align itself against the best interests of the American people and our constitutional republic. And we, the people of the United States of America, must demand that the federal government is not funded anymore. So these federal budget negotiations going on right now, call your Congress people and tell them, no, don't fund it. Americans' founding fathers would have burned down every federal building right now. They would have been, they're rolling over in their graves, folks. And I want to remind you, this is a spiritual war, not a physical one. And more on that at the end of the message. So our battle isn't in the flesh, folks. It's not with guns. We don't go out and draw and quarter people. We don't lynch them. We don't shoot them. No, this battle is high and mighty, and it's in the spiritual realm. But right now it's time for the Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Okay, so only day and age, and I put this under the Absurdian Report because a local ABC affiliate in Detroit, it was ABC affiliate, I don't have their call letters here, but this was in the World Tribune staff report from September 15th, 2021. So an ABC News fishing expedition on their Facebook page took a startling turn, according to the World Tribune staff writer, over the weekend after they asked their readers to share stories of loved ones who died of COVID after refusing or delaying to get the vaccine. But instead of getting all sorts of reader responses of loved ones dying from being unvaccinated, what happened is that the readers en masse responded and talked about people, loved ones, friends, family who died after vaccination. Or even worse, the compounding effect of all these adverse reactions that have crippled them and debilitated them. Oh, and by the way, it was ABC affiliate WXYZ-TV in Detroit. So they posted this little thing on Facebook. Listen to this. After the vaccines were available to everyone, did you lose an unvaccinated loved one to COVID-19? If you're willing to share your family story, please direct message us your contact information. We may reach out for a story we're working on. By noon of last Monday, the Post received over 39,000 angry and often heartbreaking responses. And actually every one of these contained a string of reports of telling of family members and friends who were grieving the loss of a loved one with the now complicated medical conditions that weren't being paid by their insurance after getting the jab. Here's one. My daughter, 33-year-old, died 10 days after getting the shot. She had an enlarged heart, and she had a terminal lung disease, pulmonary hypertension, none of which she had before the shot. She shouldn't have gotten the shot. Please, please tell the people. Another one was a grieving daughter. She said, my mom, 10 days after she got her second Pfizer jab, couldn't swallow or talk correctly. And the very next day was hospitalized, basically never woke up again, and was sent to hospice. And 5 days later, in hospice, she died. Now, there are also many stories about the disillusionment that these people had with corporate media failing to report on all these adverse effects. Here's one. My parents' neighbor woke up the next morning after the shot suddenly completely deaf. His doctor told him it's from the vaccine, and if his hearing doesn't return within a few weeks, he'll be permanently deaf. Well, now he's permanently deaf. And our rabbi's mentor, a very prestigious rabbi, was recovering from COVID in a rehab facility. He was doing well, walking about and about to be discharged home when the facility forced him to take the jab because it became their policy, even though he refused. And immediately he developed paralysis in one arm, and shot on him, which he refused again, but the facility insisted. And after the second shot, he developed a complete progressive paralysis and died. Why don't we see these stories on your newscasts? Why are the journalists silent on the thousands of vaccine injuries leading to permanent disability and even death? Happened to honest journalism. Please, please report these stories in the news. Folks, there are 39,000 out there, and I'm surprised Facebook didn't take them down. I haven't checked recently. You know, there were reports of heart attacks and strokes. Stories of non-lethal injuries abounded. I mean, it was crazy. And many complained that after contracting COVID, I didn't say that quite right. They contracted COVID after getting jabbed. One woman reported her own experience of the vaccination spreading to the unvaccinated in her home. She said, my husband and I got it to protect our children, and a week later, my children have COVID. A registered nurse, she offered her perspective in response to the, I don't know if you remember the Libertarian vice president candidate. His name was Spike Cohen, but he put a very wry and highly liked comment out there, and she responded to it. Folks, I just looked at the clock, and I have to move on. I can't continue. But before we do, I took this clip, which covers all the vax deaths. And there are local news stories, but they never make the national news. So this is a 1 minute and 54-second montage of various local stories reporting these deaths and adverse reactions. Now, typically, in an honest news cycle, these things would be picked up by the national news, but they haven't been. Just listen.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized. You're not going to be in an ICU unit.
We are pro-vaccine and pro-science, which is why we agreed to let Maddie and her two older brothers volunteer for the trial.
And you're not going to die.
30 people a day dying from this vaccine. Adverse event reporting system, VAERS, is estimated by most people that follow it as being less than 1% of what actually happens. Folks, this is not about vaccines in general. In the 4 months of 2021, we've had more COVID-19 experimental vaccine deaths than all the vaccine deaths for the 15-year period between 1997 and 2013.
Learning more tonight about the mysterious death of a man who died just hours after getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Multiple agencies are now investigating what caused his death.
CBS 13's Marissa Perlman is in Auburn with the woman who says she witnessed that man getting this shot. Marissa?
Yeah, a lot to learn about this one, Steve. First, the county posting on social media that a person was diagnosed with COVID-19 back in December and then died just hours after getting the vaccine on Thursday. This news now causing concern in this community, now questioning the safety of the COVID-19 vaccine.
5:30, how safe is the Pfizer COVID vaccine?
We are investigating the death of a South Florida doctor who passed away 2 weeks after getting his shot. And we have reactions from that doctor's family.
And we're also now hearing from Pfizer as well as the Florida Department of Health on this one. Local 10 investigator Amy Viteri is live with what she has learned. Amy.
Well, Dr. Gregory Michael passed away on Sunday just a little over 2 weeks after getting a COVID-19 vaccine at Mount Sinai Medical Center.
You're not going to die.
And then to add insult to injury, folks, our imposter-in-chief, Beijing Biden, and his sidekick, heels in the air, Harris. Here's a section of their past comments on the jab. And watch them or listen to them flip-flop.
These vaccines are safe. Why? They can still kill you. Even if you are under the age of 27. We need to be clear and direct.
Get vaccinated. If you're vaccinated, even if you do catch the virus, quote unquote, like people talk about it in normal terms, you're an overwhelmed, and not many people do. If you do, you're not likely to get sick. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations. And one of the big issues was dealing with infrastructure. Remember, last 4 years, we had infrastructure week every week. We didn't do a thing, but it's necessary. No, I really mean it. I don't care if you think I'm Satan reincarnated. The fact is that the Democrats or the Biden is hiding people and sucking the blood of children. And
we're sucking the blood out of kids.
Let's just say there's a vaccine that is approved and even distributed before the election. Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us.
If and when the vaccine comes, and it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done. When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot? You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay. And the question of whether it's real when it's there, that requires enormous transparency. You got to make all of it available to other experts across the nation so they can look and see. So there's consensus. This is a safe vaccine. If the president announced tomorrow we have a vaccine, would you take it? Only if it was completely transparent that other experts in the country could look at it. Only if we knew all of what went into it. If Donald Trump can't give answers and the administration can't give answers to these three questions, the American people should not have confidence.
But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
So where is the transparency, folks? What has changed? This is the same jab that was developed under Operation Warp Speed. But folks, time is short and I have to keep moving. It's time for Ken's Corner.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
So I was researching this week for the Nicki Minaj clip, and we just heard that under the Hopium Report. And I stumbled on this. This is from the late night Twitter feed, and it was Stephen Colbert. And boy, I'll tell you what, he is out there bashing anyone who doesn't embrace the current narrative in any area, not just with the vaccine. But I stitched these two segments together where he's bashing alternative treatments, and in particular ivermectin. And a lot of this came out after the talk show host who recovered using, threw the kitchen sink at it, Joe Rogan. Anyways, listen to Stephen Colbert bashing ivermectin.
It is medicine for horses, but the Mississippi Poison Control Center has been pelted with calls from people taking ivermectin in a dangerous attempt to dodge COVID. And officials say 70% obtained the drug from animal supplies. Two people hospitalized.
Okay, students, before we begin the operation, let's bring in the specialist. How do we proceed, doctor?
Have you tried ivermectin? It works for everything. Heart disease, enlarged liver, athlete's hoof. So what's the issue here?
The patient has a broken leg.
That's a death sentence. Get the shotgun.
A horse is a horse, of course, don't trust it as a medical source. That is, of course, unless the horse is a famous Dr. Ed.
We've had hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, now onions and betadine. At this point, we should just get ahead of the curve and announce everything that will not treat COVID. Witch hazel, Tide Pods, Pepto-Bismol up the butt, licking batteries, doing jumping jacks, snorting Dorito dust, two turntables and a microphone, hush puppies, one turntable and a microphone, expired Zima, really a spicy meatballs, saying Candyman in a mirror five times, or getting banged. We've had high...
So let me get this right. There's nothing we can do if we get it to help ourselves. Nothing. Is that right? Wrong. That's the exact opposite of the truth. But that's how this PSYOP works, to create fear and dependency. That's their modus operandi, folks. That's what they do. They get you into this state of fear. They get you dependent upon them. And then you think there's no way but their way.
Gosh. Golly. Golly. Gosh.
That's right, Gomer. Golly. That's about the best thing I could say. So what I've put together here is a synopsis of what the coronavirus coach put together is ways that you can help booster your immune system. And remember, if you get it, speak to a frontline doctor. They know how to treat it. But here's what the coronavirus coach recommends. There's 10 top supplements, and you know I'm a big supplement guy. Colloidal silver, 10 parts per million, or a silver hydrosol. They recommend 2 teaspoons a day. Zinc, about 50 milligrams per day. Take it with food. Vitamin C, at least 1,000 milligrams per day. Folks, I take 4,000. Terry takes 2,000 liposomal and 1,000 in a tablet like I do. Vitamin D3, I talked about it. 2,000 to 5,000 international units a day are recommended. But Terry and I take 50,000 with the K2, zinc citrate, and magnesium supplements. Selenium, do not forget selenium. 200 mcg. Per day. Oil of oregano. Take 1 or 2 drops in 8 ounces of water. Very strong antiviral, along with turmeric, or better yet, curcumin, which is the 95% active extract of turmeric. But make sure you take it with the bioprene, the black pepper extract additive, which increases absorptivity by a factor of 6. Then there's olive leaf extract, 500 milligrams twice daily. And black seed oil extract. Put it in your soups, your broths, your cereals. It's an immune system booster, folks. And most of these things are things that Terry and I used as she battled her cancer diagnosis back in 2018. And then, of course, there's iodine. One drop of 2% iodine stirred into 8 ounces of water daily. Now, again, I'm not giving medical advice. I'm just telling you things that help bolster your immune system. Plus, other things you could do is you can drink tea. Tea is a very strong antioxidant, as is some of the other supplements that I just mentioned. Another good thing is some sodium bicarbonate added to water, apple cider vinegar. Wash your mouth out with hydrogen peroxide. Use a neti pot. If you don't know what a neti pot is, search for it, N-E-T-I. Do nasal flushes with that. Keep your nasal passage clean. And don't forget garlic and ginger, folks. And then regular exercise and probiotics. These are all things that we can do to stay healthy. And it's very, very important. But now, folks, as I've said, we've got a lot to cover. It's time for Back to the Future. The segment where we take something old and bring it back to the future. So let's wind the clock all the way back to 1970. And this document titled Global 2000 Depopulation Program. Now this Global 2000 Population Reduction Plan officially began during the Carter administration. It's an 800-page study commissioned by the Carter administration titled Global 2000 Report, submitted to the State Department and the Council on Environmental Quality by the Carter administration, first printed in Great Britain in 1982. So this was the synopsis of what came together under the Carter administration. Now, this mass the side idea originally started about 10 years earlier by the Club of Rome. And this is in the Spiral Report, Volume 111, Number 3. And this was in their book, or their publication, from March 1982. Now, they have this crazy, sick thing, and we may get into that next week. It's Hoffman's book on secret societies. And they have this thing called lesser magic or white magic, and they believe they're justified as long as they let everybody know what they're going to do. So they basically have to tell you what they're going to do. And I have a clip here. It's a rather long clip. That's why I said we have to keep moving. But this is from Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory program that was on Spike TV, I believe it was, 10 years ago. It only ran once, and most of these things are very difficult to find. But in this segment, Jesse Ventura is talking to a doctor who is actually expatriated, left the country because she's concerned. I think she's down in Central America somewhere now, but she consented to an interview with Jesse Ventura, and she's talking about the vaccination depopulation plan that the federal government has in place. And it was all built upon this document out of the Clinton administration from the 70s. So listen to this clip. It's long, but please pay attention.
As soon as you and I finish,
I'm
leaving the country again. Why? Because in a very short time, not today, not tomorrow, but very soon, we'll be facing compulsory vaccination under the mistaken term of voluntary vaccination.
Alex, you sounded urgent.
There's an entire agenda afoot to force the population to undergo different type of medical treatments, namely vaccines. We're seeing a medical tyranny being set up, not just in the United States, but worldwide under the UN and the World Health Organization.
Who's behind all this?
The Bilderberg Group. They want a planetary dictatorship so they can carry out their forced depopulation agenda, and they want to do it through the medical system. And that's why vaccines are so important. We know that many of these vaccines turn out to have serious adverse reactions, that this is being done by design. They kill you slowly over time. That's why they're called soft kill. And I've got an insider I think you should really talk to, Dr. Rima Labo. But she doesn't live inside the United States because she's so concerned about all the police state developments that are taking place. But if you can get her to come up here and talk to you, she's a medical doctor. She's treated heads of states, and she really understands what's happening on the inside.
Where's the doctor now?
She's in Panama.
Panama, so I got to find her.
You can either go down to Panama and talk to her or somehow get her up here. She doesn't like to come up here, though. Here's her phone number and information in Panama.
All right. I'm going to work on it. Thank you, man.
Within days, arrangements are made. The renegade physician agrees to fly into a small airfield in the Midwest, only if the governor will meet her there, and only for a brief time.
Dr. Lebeau, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Governor.
Governor Jesse Ventura, thanks for coming. Now, you've left the United States of America.
Yes, sir, I have.
Why?
I do not feel safe living in the United
States.
Really?
Do you want to come in and sit down?
No, sir. I'd rather not.
You'd rather just be here so you can make a fast exit if you have to.
As soon as you and I finish,
you're out of here.
I'm leaving the country again. Why? Because in a very short time, not today, not tomorrow, but very soon, we'll be facing compulsory vaccination under the mistaken term of voluntary vaccination.
Are you talking to me now about the current swine flu?
I am.
Talking about. Now, what is it about these vaccinations? You think that they're bad?
Well, first of all, let's start with the fact that the World Health Organization has decided that we have 90% too many people. The World Health Organization has been working since 1974 on vaccines to create permanent sterility.
Yes. Doctor, the response is going to be, you're crazy. How can you say this stuff?
I show them the documentation.
No, this is pretty shocking.
This process has already been ongoing. To make matters worse, we know that the vaccines that were illegally approved by the FDA contain a substance called squalene.
Squalene.
an organic compound used in vaccines to stimulate the immune system and increase the response.
If I inject you with squalene, your immune system will attack the squalene, but then it starts attacking all of the parts of your body. What does that look like when you meet a person to whom that is happening? It looks like Gulf War syndrome. It looks like every joint in the body swollen and intolerably painful and immobilized.
This is in these shots they're going to give us?
It's in some of them, but the U.S. government has a trick up their sleeve.
Which is?
The physician fled the United States in fear of the Bilderbergs' plan to use vaccines to kill off much of the world's population.
They will induce a pandemic using the nasal mist vaccine, which is a live attenuated virus. That means that if I take it, I can infect you. You're going to get the flu. Everybody around us is going to get the flu. Then the United States government, based on their statements that they've already made, will say, oh my, we have a pandemic. Oh my goodness, we don't have enough doses. So we'll admix squalene at the 90,000 injection stations that the Department of Health and Human Services announced that they will ship the vaccines to.
People lining up, sometimes by the hundreds, for an H1N1 flu shot.
What that means is a holocaust, a genocidal holocaust. Men and women will sicken and die, and those who survive will be infertile.
If people start dying massively from these inoculations, won't there be like a revolution, a rebellion, a rising up from the peasants?
Briefly, until the 420,000 U.S. military swing into action. If you remember, NORTHCOM, the Northern Command, was created not long ago to, among other things, relocate the population in the event of civil disorder or pandemic.
Doctor, what you're saying is that if people refuse these vaccinations, that FEMA's going to put them into almost like concentration camps around the country?
I think you have to leave out the word almost.
Doctor, how can you say this stuff?
Let me tell you a story. In 2003, I had a patient in my drug-free medical practice who was a head of state. And one day she said, you know, it's almost time for the great culling to begin.
The what?
That's what I said. The what? She said the great culling, C-U-L-L-I-N-G, when you thin the herd. I said, what are you talking about? She said, it's almost time for the useless eaters to be culled. And she said, those are the people who are consuming our non-renewable natural resources. I said, who are the people who make
the
this decision?
Few.
She said, we, the aristocrats.
This person you talk to, you're bound because you're a physician and
there's
the relationship that you can't talk. Is this person a member of the Bilderbergs?
She is not Queen Beatrice. She is not the Queen of England. She is not Henry Kissinger. But she certainly presented herself as a member of that power elite, and she certainly was a head of state. Now, the Bilderbergers are much talked about at this point. I said, who's behind this? And she said, well, you've heard of the Bilderbergers, of course. I said, are they the people at the top? She said, no.
The investigation is about to move into uncharted territory.
Doctor, we're talking about some wild stuff here, extinguishing 90% of the world's population. Now, what you're saying to me is the Bilderbergs are not the top echelon, that there's somebody above them?
According to what I was told by this woman, there's a council of seven men, and they make long-term decisions about what they want to see happen, which country rises, which country falls, which economies prosper. And it's really important to understand that these people have no affiliation to a religion, no affiliation to a nation, no affiliation to a political party. They are acting according to their own rules, and their rules are not the ones that the institutions we believe in adhere to.
And you're saying these people mean genocide?
The swine flu is one catalyst. Remember, if you're a genocidalist, you have to work really hard to kill 6 billion people. As a military person, somebody trained as a SEAL, you know that the SEALs might be able to carry out the job, but you also had backup and collateral strength.
How powerful are the Bilderbergs or the people above them in the world?
Not as powerful as we, the people, in the aggregate are. When we raise our voices, every single time they step back. The problem is, the dirty little secret is that we have that power. They don't want us to know that we have that power.
Her warning delivered. Dr. Lebo heads back to her hideaway in the mountains of Panama. Her message is clear. It's up to everyone else to decide what to do with her information.
So there you hear it again, folks. We the people, 333 million strong, need to stand up and say to the New World Order and all of their lackeys, no more. We refuse the mask mandates. We refuse these gene experimental technologies, which are actually creating human chimera. We refuse it all. So how does this apply to the news? Well, in a recent presser, Biden admits that the mRNA technology has been in the works for decades. But didn't we just hear a clip of him flip-flopping on this and saying, this is new, who's going to trust it? But here's the truth.
Drugs that are designed to kill the virus came along so quickly. Been working on it for 2 decades. There's nothing quick about this. It's been over 2 decades. So people say, I'm not taking a drug that was so approved so quickly. It's been 2 decades. The truth is, we haven't said it enough to people to allay their fears. There's nothing, their fears. It's nothing that just happened yesterday and they said, well, let's take a shot on this. And there's a process.
So there you have it. Biden admits they've been planning this for decades. Folks, this goes back to the Carter administration depopulation plan that we covered earlier in Back to the Future. And then really a YouTuber with about 400 views, a very small YouTuber, YouTube hasn't found it yet. He reads a recent quote from Dr. Mike Eden, you know, the former Pfizer executive who's warning that these jabs are part of a mass depopulation plan. Listen to this 2-minute and 38-second clip.
Dr. Mike Eden, ex-chief scientist of Pfizer, has stated that it is now too late to save any person who has been injected with any COVID-19 vaccine. He urges those who have not yet been injected with the deadly compound to fight for the continuation of humans and the lives of their children. The world-acclaimed immunologist goes on to outline the process, which he says will kill the vast majority of people now alive, immediately on receipt of the first injection, around 0.8% die within 2 weeks. Survivors have a life expectancy of 2 years on average, but this is decreased with every top-up or booster injection. Supplemental vaccines are in development to cause degradation of specific organs, including heart, lungs, and brain. Having been intimately acquainted with the functioning and goals of research and the development of the pharmaceutical giant, Pfizer, for 2 decades, Professor Eden states that the final goal of the currently administered regime of vaccinations can only be a mass depopulation event, which will make all the world wars combined seem like a Mickey Mouse production. Billions are already condemned to certain unchangeable and agonizing deaths. Each person who has received the injection will certainly die prematurely, and 3 years is a generous estimate for how long they can expect to live. We must never forget the past. Spanish philosopher, essayist, and poet George Santayana famously said, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." This great truth can be expanded to, "Those who ignore the past are condemned to suffer the consequences." Santayana also said, "Skepticism is the chastity of the intellect. To covet truth is a very distinguished passion." I couldn't agree more.
Oh, who's behind all of this, folks? Well, it's the deep states, or whatever you want to call them, and their front organizations like the World Health Organization, and we'll get into that more next week, okay? But remember, folks, and I've been telling you this all through this message and some of the past, our battle's not flesh and blood. Our battle is high and mighty, okay? The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So last week I told you that there's actually this very deadly and sinister war underway, a war between God and Satan, and the battle is for your mind and mine. Now, believe it or not, the battleground is in our minds, folks, which are part of our souls. You know, our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And those of us who are Christians are caught up in this cosmic battle. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So today, what I'd like to do, provided the Lord's willing, and Father, I pray that you open the eyes and the ears of all of those listening so that they can receive these truths, is to look at whether or not we have a conformed mind or a critically thinking mind. As we focused on this very last phrase, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So folks, God didn't want you and me to live a defeated life. No, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, "Thanks be unto God who causes us always to triumph in Christ Jesus." And folks, you know what the word "always" in Greek translates to in English? Always. So that means God wants us in a constant state of victory. Now, I hope you believe that, because God's plan for you and me as believers in this crazy day and age is victory. Victory through Jesus. So he has a victory plan for you and me, and it all begins in our thought lives. And the enemy knows that, and they're using the media to fill our faith function with fear. The scripture has three truths in it right here that we are going to focus on. First, that the devil wants our mind, but praise the Lord, so does God. In verse 4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So there's this war out there, a covert war. It's underway with you and me right now. And the devil, he's declared war against our thought life, which is the citadel of our soul, you know, the fortress of our soul, which keeps us ironclad. The bottom line, the devil wants to conform my mind and yours. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness." Folks, are you hearing this? This is the key to the kingdom. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." So he's talking to Christians here, and he's saying, stop looking like the pagans in the vanity, that's the emptiness or the vapidity of their mind, having the standing dark and being alienated from the life of God. How? Through the ignorance that is in them. And how has that happened? By the dumbing down of America, because of the blindness of their heart. Now, praise the Lord. God also wants our minds. And the Bible tells us that God changes us. How? Through the renewing of our minds. The Bible says, "And be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. So God renews us in the spirit of our minds. In other words, we can change the way we live, the way we think, the way we talk, the way we respond to all of this craziness by changing the way we think. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and I'm going to keep emphasizing this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So, folks, if anyone makes you think that being a Christian means you have to check your mind at the door, they don't get it. This is all about our minds, folks. Plus, this is the other good thing. God will control you and me through our minds. Remember, Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, but to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And how are you spiritually minded? When you conform your mind to the mind of Christ, which is the wisdom and power of God. Now, if you think I'm just telling you to buck it up and think better things, that's not the case, because that would be futile. Since in our flesh we're weak. The scripture says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So our flesh or our natural state doesn't have what it takes to get us right in this process of the renewing of our mind. So if that's the case, and we live in the flesh, we might as well admit that we have problems. I do. And I'm not going to judge you, but I'm sure you do too. You know, let's face it, we all deal with disappointment, sickness, perplexities, and sin. Yeah, we all deal with that little three-letter word, sin. And if you deny that, you're a liar. So we have to deal with these mundane things of life. We're going to be plagued with sin till the day we receive our glorified bodies, folks. So don't get the idea that after you're saved, you just move to this other planet and you're sinless and you're perfect. You're not, folks. As Christians, we still need to live in this world. We still have to buy groceries and take the garbage out, you know, when it's raining. We still have to go to work, just like everybody else does. We still have to deal with all this crap concerning the mask mandates and the vax mandates. The point is that we all live in the flesh. It's just part of life here on earth. And there's no place to stash our flesh and to hide it and enable us to get out of this rat race that we're in. We just can't do that. But the good news is that the war isn't in the flesh. No. No. So if you're one of those people that think you want to retreat to your hideaway or go to a monastery some way, this is stinking thinking. That's not going to make you holy. The truth is there's no way out of this flesh with the flesh. The Bible says, though we live in the flesh, we don't war in the flesh. So Paul's talking about the weakness of the flesh here. And the truth is that we don't want to fight that weakness with that weakness. So you don't want to fight flesh with flesh. So you don't fight against the flesh and blood with flesh and blood. And that's the point I mentioned last week when I talked about the full armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. You know, we're supposed to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, with the whole armor of God, you know, to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he tells us there again, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, we put on the whole armor of God. You know, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, shod on our feet with the gospel of peace. So when you do that, you're prepared to battle, not with the Democrats or the Republicans or even with the deep state. No, you're not. And by the way, it's not Hollywood or the IRS or your employer or those face mask mandates and those vaccine mandates that you're fighting against at the local sport. That's not where the battle truly is. Now, sure, you have to do those things, but when you do them, make sure you understand what you're actually battling. Your battle is in the mind of that other person. Your battle is against the devil himself, who has his mind in his control. Now, listen here and be careful, folks. You can't outwit or outwar the devil. No, he mocks at our schemes and he ridicules our organizations. So let's look at some of the common ways that most people wrongly think that they can win this war. Some people say, well, education, all we got to do is educate. Well, look what that did. We covered that, didn't we? That doesn't work. So if you take a man who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ and educate him, all you've done is made him more dangerous because he's become a clever devil. So there was an alcoholic. He went to those courses on how to manage your alcohol issue and avoid abuse. And afterwards, he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what he said, and I quote, "Here's what those courses I went to without Jesus did for me. I went to those courses dumb and drunk, and I came out an educated alcoholic." So education's not the answer, folks. You know, if you teach a thief things to become educated, he won't rob the cabbage off the rail car anymore. He'll rob the railroad. And then legislation's not the answer either. All we need to do is pass another law. The Bible says, no, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So do you honestly think that by laws we're actually going to control how men and women think? That's impossible. Remember, the Supreme Court tried to do that several years ago, and when they changed the definition of marriage and basically endorsed the sin of homosexuality. And how's that working out today, folks? Well, as lawlessness abounds, the love of many waxes cooled. So what you've seen is this acidic nature in every bit of our public discourse now, from our comedy all the way up to the rhetoric of our politicians. And now we're going to punish those hate criminals, you know, those who speak out against deviant behavior. Like Isaiah said, we've turned it upside down. Think about it. All crimes are hate crimes. But what I believe is right and what I believe is wrong is not a crime. And neither is it declaring the truth to a lost and fallen world. Yet somehow today the Luciferians have gotten the people to think that we can have laws and make people love one another and laws to keep people from hating one another. But the truth is that you can't do any of this through the law. The purpose of the law and legislation is to restrain evil. But it can't make evil people do good. That's the point, okay? And another thing is environment's not the answer. So you can't just give everybody a supplemental income like they're trying to do. You can't just give everybody a basic universal income like they want to do under the Great Reset and think you're going to control their thought lives by giving them some money. Remember, Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So education, legislation, environment, they're not going to conquer this. These are things that people think they can do without the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you think that you could get right in a better environment or by getting better educated, okay, or by having your congressperson write a law, if you want education, I know a lot of good laws. I know a lot of good schools. I know a lot of good places. But I want to remind you that Adam and Eve got into trouble in the Garden of Eden, and you're not going to have a better environment than they grew up in. How did we get into all this trouble? Well, it all started when Adam and Eve were deceived. You know, it says the serpent beguiled Eve. And the point here is that the devil messes with our minds. And he's doing that same thing today with the normies and the scandemic and the going direct reset. So it's a war for our minds. Both the devil and God wants our minds. And there's a weakness in our flesh, and we have to avoid turning to the flesh to try to win this battle. And then finally, the third truth, and this is where I'm going to wrap it up because I am quickly running out of time. We have certain weapons in our fight. You know, he said that the weapons we have are not carnal, but mighty through God to the calling down or pulling down of strongholds. So in Paul's day, there was a battle. In one corner, there was Paul. In the other corner, the mighty Roman Empire. It's been around for 700 years, and here's this little humpbacked Jewish rabbi. You know, think about it. In one corner, you've got the prestige and power of Rome. They had iron legions of Rome winning wars all across the known world, the mighty vessels of the Roman Navy, the Roman Senate, the Roman law. Sound familiar? And then in the other corner, you had Paul. Sounds like you and me and us truthers going against big tech and big pharma and the fake news and the central banks and the Luciferian deep state, doesn't it? All through this scandemic and this going direct reset. Isn't that what it sounds like? So you have Paul in the one corner and the evil of the Roman Empire in the other. And the people of Corinth had their hearts and their minds attached and entrenched into this Zeitgeist, or the spirit of the age, which at the time was the stinking thinking of the Roman Empire. And that's the analogy we have today. So today we have this fear-driven normie with their minds conformed to the mass media assault scandemic. So there's Paul, entrenched around with the evil of the Roman Empire. And the stinking thinking of He's Corinth, okay? And you think Paul's down for the 10 count, but Paul says, I'm coming against the citadel of your mind. He mentions the strongholds in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And he says, they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, a stronghold is this fortress, okay? And he's saying that the walls of resistance are coming down. So what sort of resistance was in the hearts and the minds of the North? Well, there was arrogance, ignorance, and despair. Same thing we see today, isn't it? These are strongholds that can form the mind, the thought life of an individual, and keeps their way of thinking and acting and doing and saying and seeing in strongholds. They're demonic thoughts, folks. They're organized. They're mobilized. They're armies of hell, and they're inside your mind. And Paul says, that's coming down. He mentions these high things, the casting down of these high things. So that's the citadel, okay? The citadel of the normie mind, and that's got these towers all around it. And Paul says, I'm going to decimate your towers. These towers, they're not intelligence. They're not intellectualism. They're pseudo-intelligence, pseudo-intellectualism, high-minded attitudes and sophistication, which we mistake for science today when it's actually scientism, okay? It's this false science masquerading as the discipline of science, and it's not, folks. And Paul said it's all coming down, okay? And that's where the war is. And there's also a sovereignty, the sovereignty of our commander. Paul says in verse 1, do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 10, verse 7. That means you and I belong to Jesus Christ. He's our commander-in-chief. But not only do we have the sovereignty of our commander, and we have the authority as his disciple, as his follower, the authority of our commissioners, the commission as believers. In verse 8 it says, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8. So he's saying we have authority. Now our authority is a legal right to act on the behalf of another, that one who we represent. And who do we represent? You and me are ambassadors of Christ. So Jesus, he won the war, and then he vested or bestowed upon us authority, just like the governor of Pennsylvania bestows upon the state troopers an authority. They represent the governor of the state of Pennsylvania when they're out in that highway and they pull you over for speeding. Well, likewise, Jesus gave you and me as his believers spiritual authority. Jesus won the war. You know, David came against Goliath with that slingshot, remember, and he killed him? But he was fighting for God. Now, I'd rather have a slingshot and God on my side than the sword of Goliath any day, folks. So we have the authority of Jesus Christ. What more can you want, folks? What more could you want? Jesus said, behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So Jesus gave you and me authority. Notice this, and this is out of Luke chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So he's not, Jesus doesn't want you and me to get all hyped up because we have this incredible spiritual authority and we can bring thunder down from heaven. No, 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 that's not the point. We should rejoice because our name is written in heaven. In other words, it's not the knowledge of the devil that sets you free. No, no, it's the knowledge of Jesus that sets you and me free. Amen? And then finally, folks, we have the certainty of our courage. Paul wrote in verses 8 through 10, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed that I may not seem as if it would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. So here you have Paul, this old man, and he's always writing these tough letters. But he then says in verse 11, let such and one think this, that such as we are in this word by letter, we are absent, such will we also be indeed when we are present. In other words, what he's saying is, listen, I belong to Jesus. He won the battle for me. He's given me this authority. Look at my body. Do you think I can do anything? I'm an old man. But because I have this courage, because I have this truth, I'm going to win this battle, which is in the mind. In other words, when you think, did you hear that, folks? As you think, That's what you're going to be. Now, once we take back the fortress of our minds, then we got to do is set a guard on our minds. The Bible says, guard your mind with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4, verse 23. So when we go to the airport, we have to go through the metal detector, you know. And what do we do beforehand? Well, we take our keys out of our pocket, our glasses, our tie clip, our belt, our earrings, whatever you might have that will set that buzzer off. Then you go through it, and you hear buzz, and the TSA agent says, step back, anything else in your pocket? They frisk you. You know the routine. Well, we keep doing that till we can pass through. Now, likewise, we need to get one of these magnetometers on our minds and at all times let nothing such as doubt, unbelief, or fear get through the fortress of our minds. We have to screen everything that enters our mind. Bottom line, just don't let those things in. Paul told the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, whatsoever things are pure, whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen? I encourage you to keep your thoughts upon God. The point is, we can't think two things at once. So if you're thinking a faith-based thought, you can't think a fear-based thought. So take those fears and cast them from your mind. Don't let the devil take away your pure-hearted devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there won't be any room for those filthy, dirty, fearful, doubting, skeptical, pride-filled thoughts that bombard us constantly and every day from the mainstream media. And it all begins when you give your heart to Jesus, folks. The Bible says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. So your mind without Christ is really blind to these spiritual things. That's why most people can't see it. It's not an intellectual thing. Unbelief is not an intellectual matter. It's a matter of an evil heart. So would you let God remove that evil from your heart? Would you let God remove the blindness from you today? Would you surrender your heart to Jesus? If so, just pray this prayer if you're not saved. And if you're saved, pray for somebody you love. Just pray, Lord Jesus, I need you and I want you and I need you in my life. I need you right now for everlasting life, Jesus. I can't do this on my own. I believe you died to save me. I believe you promised to save me, and I trust that you will save me, Jesus. Just pray that. Folks, that prayer doesn't save you. Jesus does, but he hears your cry, and he meets you right where you are. He loves you, folks. And then in the words of Winston Churchill, as you go out there this week and wage this battle in the spiritual realm, never give in. Never, never,
never. Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, folks, through that, the Holy Spirit enters you. And that same Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is the Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave. That same power, he lives in you and me. I love you all, folks.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to show a world that looks like there is no hope that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace, to stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word.
cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.